through a program we had through community colleges, we said, look, put together a program for us where we can teach people how to code. So they went out literally into the hood, and they found, turned out, 54, and they had to be all women, the vast majority of women of color, no one with more than a high school degree.
To teach them to code. You know, women of color, no men. Why no men? Sexist and racist. But I'll tell you what, I think the people at Washingtonian could learn to code. And now, James Marshall Hendricks. Yeah, maybe when the employees at Washingtonian are all fired, including their executive whatever, they can all learn to code. They can learn to code. Because then Biden will give visas to foreign coders who will come in and take their jobs. That'd be kind of funny, wouldn't it? A little bit funny. Got another, who was it that was walking around? You got all these liberals doing Zoom calls, naked, doing sexual things. Who was it? Tubin. Jeffrey Tubin. That's who it was. Jeffrey Tubout. Well, we got another one now. Literary editor resigns after reportedly bathing on Zoom in mesh shirt. Sure, yeah. Joshua Wolf Schenck has resigned from his position as editor-in-chief of The Believer magazine and the artistic and executive director at the University of Nevada's Black Mountain Institute Literary Center. The Los Angeles Times reports, allegedly wearing a mesh shirt and using a virtual background, he stood up without grabbing a towel or turning his camera off. There was no way to avert your eyes in time. Actually, it says there's no way to reschedule the meeting or the bath. You know, the bath, I guess that's it's a very important timed event. So we got another guy. So he's taking a bath. He's on a Zoom call. He's the boss. He's the editor. He's, you know, an academic and a journalist and in the one foot in both universes. And there he is naked in the bathtub, as you might be, wearing a mesh shirt inexplicably. And he stands up. Oops, did I forget my towel? Because, you know, literary editor and academic. That's kind of normal stuff. It's like Jeffrey Tubout. Did you see that there was a funny moment with a Republican? Where is this guy? I think we've got a story on this in here somewhere, don't we? This guy who was doing a committee hearing. We have that story in here, don't we? This ridiculous person, an Ohio Republican state senator, attended a video. They were doing a hearing on Zoom or one variant, some variant or another of Zoom. And Zoom is kind of like Xerox at this point, or, you know, get me a Coke. What kind of Coke you want? But the Ohio GOP senator attended video call while driving on the same day his colleagues introduced a distracted driving bill. Now, that's actually the funniest headline on the story, the best headline on the story, I think, from Talking Points Memo. And it is somewhat amusing. Ohio State Senator Andrew Brenner, a Republican, was on a video conference call while he was driving his car on Monday, the same day his Republican colleagues introduced a bill on distracted driving while using an electronic device in the state legislature. See, so they want to make it distract while, you know, illegal to use an electronic device while driving. And at that same day, he's driving while using an electronic device, his telephone. But the best part is that he had, you know how you can put up these fake backgrounds when you're, you know, you can put a beach in Hawaii or somebody else's office behind you or whatever you want, you know, Mount Vesuvius behind you with these fake computer-generated backdrops. These phones and things are very sophisticated. But Brenner told the Columbia Dispatch he was paying attention to the driving while listening to the meeting, but which was being held by the Ohio Controlling Board. Well, but here's the funny part. He put the backdrop of his office behind him while he was driving in his car, but you can see his seatbelt coming across his chest and over his shoulder. And he's got this fake computer-generated office behind him while he's driving in his car, holding his phone up, and you can see that he's not looking at the phone. He is actually, well, you can see his head. He's looking around like he's driving. He's looking ahead like he's driving. And but he's got his seatbelt coming. Why you wear a seatbelt in your office? That's kind of crazy. Your office chair with a seatbelt? How dangerous is your office? Is your office moving anywhere? Is your house going somewhere? Crazy, crazy stuff. Let me tell you. And I want to get to this crazy congresswoman, U.S. Congress, not State House representative, but a member of the United States Congress, Cori Bush. And she's got some issues, I think. She needs some help. But she was holding a hearing yesterday, participating in a hearing. She is Cori Annika Bush. She's a registered nurse, interestingly enough, and she's an activist from St. Louis, Missouri, Democratic member of the House of Representatives. And she was at a hearing yesterday. She tweeted out this kind of crazy thing. Every day, she tweeted, black birthing people, can you explain that for me? And our babies die because our doctors don't believe our pain. Apparently, all doctors are racists because it only applies to black birthing people. Now, what are birthing people exactly? We're going to get into that. She said, my children almost became a statistic. All of them? I almost became a statistic, she said. I testified about my experience. And she says, hear this, believe this. She's really something. I got to tell you, the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, U.S. Representative Cori Bush reveals how she nearly lost her two babies. Now, this happens a lot. Giving birth to a child can be a dangerous proposition much of the time. U.S. Representative Cori Bush served as a witness in her own congressional committee hearing on Thursday examining the black maternal health crisis in America, providing emotional testimony about how she nearly lost the lives of her two children. The 44-year-old congresswoman from St. Louis recalled sitting in her doctor's office when she was 5 months pregnant and seeing a sign on the wall that read, if you feel like something is wrong, tell your doctor. Bush told her doctor about severe abdominal pain, but her doctor dismissed it, saying, oh no, you're fine. Go home, I'll see you next time. Now, I would think being pregnant would lead to some abdominal pain, but that's me. I've never been pregnant because I'm a man. You see, I'm a male of the species. There are two genders. And then, you know, a little bit of wiggle room because of biology. A week later, just 23 weeks gestation, Bush went into labor. Her son, Zion, oh, she's a Zionist, was born weighing just over a pound. That's tough. His ears, it is. I mean, it's an awful thing. His ears were still in his head. His eyes were still fused shut. He's a preemie. His fingers were smaller than rice. Rice, that's very small. And his skin was translucent, she said. We were told he had 0% chance of life. Now, see, Zion went on a ventilator for a month and then intensive care for 4 months. Dr. Bush's doctor acknowledged not listening to her and asked for another chance. 2 months later, Bush was pregnant again. 2 months later, and decided to stick with the same doctor. At 16 weeks, Bush went into preterm labor again. Another doctor told her, a different doctor told her she was going to lose the baby. All right. And so this goes on, and she had another traumatic incident. Now, the thing is, this all starts with black birthing people. Now, certainly my mother had six boys. I was one of them. And we all grew up to be men and all of that stuff. My mother also had two miscarriages during the course of her birthing time. I guess she was a white birthing person. I think she was a white birthing person at the time. And what they're talking about here is that there are disparities in the United States, and I'm guessing around the world, although they never bring up around the world, do they? The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention estimates that 60% of these deaths are preventable, said Democrat Carolyn Maloney from New York. America is failing black people. But what about white and Hispanic and Asian people? Well, we're not talking about that now. Are we? Well, what about the numbers worldwide? Well, we're not talking about that either. America is failing black people because the Democrats just this is their, you know, their slant on everything, their take on everything. So in any case, we've got two audio sound bites because it struck us as odd. The black, first of all, you got to racialize everything. Birthing people. What about white women that have problems with pregnancies and, you know, preemies and all of that stuff? It's not all that uncommon. And we now can save, thanks to American medicine, save children born earlier and earlier. And that's a great thing, you know, especially if you're pro-life. But that's a separate thing. So here's Cori Bush testifying as a witness at her own hearing on a committee that she's on. It's kind of wackadoodle-doo. Listen to this.
I went for an ultrasound at the clinic and saw a different doctor who was working that day. I found out again, I was in preterm labor. The doctor told me that the baby was going to abort. I said, no, you have to do something. But he was adamant and he said, just go home. Let it abort. You can get pregnant again because that's what you people do.
The doctor said, because that's what you people do. Because that's what you people do. That's her claim. Did she name the doctor? Has the doctor been sued? Any all that stuff? No, I don't think so. Now, here's the thing, though. The language is quite peculiar. Now, when they're referring to birthing people, what are we talking about here? And in the hearing, you know, we're talking about women. We're talking about women is what we're talking about. But they've thrown out the word women because, I don't know, it's biased or something like that. And they've replaced the word women with the term birthing people for purposes of this hearing, and I assume in perpetuity.
As we go into Mother's Day weekend, let us recommit our efforts and support to ensure that every birthing person across this nation is empowered and feels safe.
We have not created an infrastructure to support birthing people.
All pregnant and birthing people deserve to be treated with love.
Birthing while Black should not be a death sentence.
Health equity for Black birthing people is attainable.
Mothers and babies and Black birthing people are important.
We desperately need long-term fixes to support the healthcare needs of Black women and birthing people.
The most marginalized Black and Indigenous birthing people.
To systemically shift the way we approach health care for birthing people of color.
And respectful of Black women and birthing people.
The maternal mortality crisis among Black birthing people in the United States.
Black birthing people.
And birthing people.
For birthing people.
Black birthing people.
And our Black birthing persons.
For all birthing persons in Louisiana.
That birthing people want doulas and midwives.
And support for birthing people during the postpartum period.
There are not enough Black workers of color, leaving Black birthing people with limited autonomy or opportunity to receive racially concordant care.
Protect Black birthing people and to save lives.
Birthing people is the new word. Forget women. That's old hat. Now we have Black birthing people. I just wanted to share that with you. That was that montage actually was put together. That was Grabian, right, Michael? That's correct. We ought to give Grabian credit for that montage from the hearing yesterday of birthing people. And, of course, it's all about race. And it's true that the infant mortality and women dying in childbirth numbers are higher among African-American women. And that's something that should be addressed. However, it's not so completely out of whack with, and, you know, people of other races also die in childbirth and have, again, my mother had two, and the Kennedy family in the White House had a child that lived 3 days, and it's, you know, it's a terrible reality of all of that. Birthing people is apparently the new language, the preferred language of the left for women. Now, if women are birthing people, what are men? Sperm donors, or you know, a woman needs a man like a fish needs a bicycle. Maybe it'll be bicycles. I don't know. That's our Congress. That's the Democrat Party, and everything must be racialized, obviously, as well. I want to get into the Florida voting laws. There, the headline in the Washington Post: Mr. DeSantis's disdain for democracy, that's of course a giant lie. And they bring on some liars to lie about it. Even their political cartoon, they only have one every day, is they've got alligators in a pit circling official voting drop box and palm trees back there. Florida's voter suppression bill was signed into law this week is the thing. Any change to voting laws is, no, they're changed every 4 years, sometimes every 2 years, all the time, always have been. Democrats apparently just really want to steal a lot of votes and steal a lot of elections. So anything to make elections more secure, the Democrats oppose. And naturally, like they do with everything else, they accuse you of being racist because when you change your voting law, voting laws only affect people of this race and not people of that race. The Democrats know. You know, they're the party of Jim Crow and the standing in schoolhouse doors. They know all about this stuff.
There's only one Chris Plant. The Chris Plant Show.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Let's hear another success story. This one comes to us from Stacker Derek.
You guys are the best, and it's because of you I now understand retirement accounts, money in general, and how poorly the guests are treated when they show up. I really don't know where I would be without you. Thank you for 1500, and here's to another 1500 if Doug can survive that long without pay.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.
All right, Ron DeSantis coming up, the truth about lies. Before we go any farther, let's go to the telephones. Let's go to Danielle, calling from Yukon, Oklahoma. Danielle, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Hi, Chris.
Well, hi there. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's your favorite black birthing person who used to talk to you all the time when I lived in Virginia.
But of course, I know you well. I knew immediately. I knew immediately it was you.
Yeah.
Danielle, welcome. Very nice to hear your voice.
Thank you. I'm up to nine little humans.
Nine kids.
I think I talked to you right after my twins were born. Yeah.
You are a black birthing person.
yeah, my kids have said that I'm not even allowed to look at babies anymore when I'm out in public. Like, Mom, there's a baby. Dude, you can't look. I'm not allowed to mention babies. I can't hold babies. Not allowed to look at babies anymore. But yeah, this whole topic, I had to have my kids pretty much avoid the news for a while because they get enough of this stuff at school. Uh-huh. But my older son said, "What is a black birthing person?" We were talking the other day. I said, "That would be me, a black woman, because I have a uterus."
Right.
And it's biology. It's just that simple. And it's hard because I've got a 23-year-old, I've got some teenagers, I've got little kids, and they're just being bombarded from every angle with social justice issues. And I said, look, it's okay to acknowledge that some people have issues they're dealing with, but to try and make a woman not be a woman anymore because someone else who's a man who wants to be a woman feels bad because they hear the word woman, that's ridiculous. And I'll take that to my grave. I will be the old fuddy-duddy who just doesn't understand, but, you know, science is science. And, you know, I'm helping propagate the black race. So, you know, you'd think people would be happy about that.
You would think, but you're talking about people who are never happy about anything.
Right. Well, it was good talking to you, Chris. I got to run because twins are probably wreaking havoc in the house already because I'm not in the room.
Because you have nine kids.
Sorry, I said hello.
Well, God bless. Very nice to hear your voice. Thank you for calling in. Call back some other occasion and update us on life in Oklahoma, in America, as opposed to the D.C. metropolitan area, the Beltway. Danielle. A lot of people remember Danielle.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
named one of the best personal finance podcasts. The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Let's hear another success story. This one comes to us from Stacker Derek.
You guys are the best, and it's because of you I now understand retirement accounts, money in general, and how poorly the guests are treated when they show up. I really don't know where I would be without you. Thank you for 1500, and here's to another 1500 if Doug can survive that long without pay.
Find out more by searching the Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.
I want to have babies.
You want to have babies?
It's every man's right to have babies if he wants them.
But you can't have babies.
Don't you oppress me.
I'm not oppressing you, Stan. You haven't got a womb. Where's the fetus going to gestate? You're going to keep it in a box?
What was once comedy perpetrated by Monty Python is now reality in 2021, not just in the United States, but around the world. And the Olympics, which may or may not be held in Tokyo, Japan, wonderful, fun city. And thanks to Danielle for calling in. We all know Danielle, love Danielle. We've known Danielle for years. We've met Danielle at various events and things. And her husband, and just a wonderful person, Danielle, moved away to get away from the crazy. But speaking of the crazy, the Olympics and Tokyo, here's the headline from the Reuters news agency. Olympics females told to be quiet on transgender issue, ex-weightlifter says. Former Olympic weightlifter Tracy Labrex says females are being told to, quote, be quiet, end quote, when they complain about the fairness of transgender New Zealand athlete Laurel Hubbard competing in women's competitions. Hubbard is on track to become the first transgender athlete to compete at an Olympics after the International Weightlifting Federation modified qualifying requirements for the Tokyo Games on Wednesday. The 43-year-old still has to satisfy the New Zealand Olympic Committee of her fitness and performance standards before selection for the team, but the prospect she will compete in Tokyo has already raised hackles. I'm quite disappointed for the female athletes who will lose out on that spot. Labrex, who won the bronze medal for New Zealand in the 2018 Commonwealth Games. We're all about equality for women in sports, but right now, that equality is being taken away from us. I've had female weightlifters come up to me and say, what should we do? This isn't fair. It's all about fairness, and the left isn't about fairness, not at all. They're about destroying everything. What do we do? Unfortunately, there's nothing we can do because every time we voice it, we get told to be quiet. Hubbard, the New Zealander, who was a man, competed in men's weightlifting competitions before transitioning to becoming a female in 2013. She, formerly he, has been eligible to compete in the Olympics since 2015, when the International Olympic Committee issued guidelines allowing any transgender athlete to compete as a woman, provided their testosterone levels are below 10 nanomoles. Nanomoles? Yeah, that's right. Per liter, and at least 12 months before their first competition. Many scientists have criticized these guidelines, saying they do little to mitigate the biological advantages of those who have gone through the puberty as a male, including bone and muscle density. Yeah, but why would anybody care about that? You know, it's about, what is it about? It's about fairness? No, it's not about fairness. Honestly, this guy, I mean, it's there's a better piece in the Washington Examiner, Biological Men and Women's Weightlifting. The numbers show it's just as absurd as it sounds. Zachary Faria writing the story, or Faria, I apologize if I didn't get it correct. The absurdity of gender ideology has triumphed over science and the concept of fairness as a biological man is set to compete in women's weightlifting at the Tokyo Olympics this year. Unsurprisingly, the numbers show that this is as ridiculous as it sounds. Laurel Hubbard, a biological man who started identifying as a woman at the age of 35, has automatically qualified for the 2020 Tokyo Olympics, being held in 2021, thanks to coronavirus restrictions changing the qualification rules. Hubbard, a weightlifter from New Zealand, will become the first transgender Olympic athlete if the Tokyo Games don't end up being canceled. It doesn't need to be said how obviously unfair it is for a biological man to compete against women in weightlifting. Hubbard hadn't competed in international weightlifting before transitioning in 2012 and going on to win several women's titles. Now, I mean, I got to tell you, this is just a whack-a-doodle-doo all over the place. The numbers show just how clear the advantage is for a biological man such as Hubbard, even at what is an advanced age for an athlete. Hubbard is not poised to go to the Olympics in spite of being 43 years old, but because of the natural strength advantage that biological men have over biological women. And then he goes on to explain, a women, what age women win titles at in weightlifting, and, you know, the oldest, in their 30 years old at 2019 championship, as opposed to 43 years old. With Hubbard out of New Zealand, pretty wacky, and the weight limits and all of this. So, you know, it's cheating, it's unfair, it's what the East Germans used to do in the Soviet days. It's crazy as all get out, and welcome to the world in 2021, I guess. Also worthy of note, out of the Olympics in Tokyo, Tokyo Olympic athletes barred from wearing Black Lives Matter apparel at ceremonies. TMZ reports today, Tokyo Olympics athletes barred from wearing BLM apparel, at ceremonies. But that's just at the ceremonies. Tokyo Olympic athletes will not be allowed to wear Black Lives Matter apparel. How about like a pro-life apparel, or, you know, I'm for Trump apparel, or the U.S. is the greatest country in the world apparel? If, you know, political statements are allowed, then political statements are allowed, right? Isn't that right? If a certain political movement gets a green light to parade around with flags and stickers and decals and hats and whatever you want with political statements, then everybody should be allowed to do that, right? Because that's fairness, right? Just like weightlifting. Sure. The International Olympic Committee revealed its broad policy 2 weeks ago on no demonstrations on the field of play during an official ceremony or at the podium, but the Associated Press reported, this week, officials have now confirmed BLM apparel is included in that ban. Why would it not be? Of course it's included in that ban. Don't be ridiculous. Don't be absurd. They are crazy, crazy people. Speaking of crazy people, this is a great story. National Panhandler Radio, suckling on the taxpayer teat for 50 years or whatever it is, a propaganda network set up across the country by the Democrat Party at taxpayer expense, obviously and unambiguously. Do-it-yourself reparations is the headline, NPR. Kia Makina Natisse typing the story on behalf of the radical left. And it's they had a show about it, a whole show. In the wake of the killing of George Floyd, everything is in the wake of the killing of George Floyd, isn't it? You know how many black people have been murdered in the United States since George Floyd was killed? Thousands and thousands is the correct answer. Vermont college student Morhia Smith decided she was done waiting for reparations and all the harm that has been done to black people from slavery up to the present day. From, you know, the Democrats. So along with some friends, she created a list where black Vermonters could sign up to receive direct payments on Venmo, you know, online, you can send money to people, from white Vermonters. Only Vermonters? You know, I think, wasn't it Vermont that was the first to outlaw slavery in 1777, hours after we became an independent nation breaking away from Great Britain? It was an experiment both in how much people were willing to give and in how it felt to receive money from strangers in the name of racial justice. They don't know what the words mean. They use the words, but they don't know. Thousands and thousands of dollars changed hands. That's not very much. But Vermonters were left with a lot of questions, not the least of which was, did what just happened count as reparations? Well, it's a transfer of wealth. It's some kind of racial socialism. And then they go into a long story about Vermonters, guilty white liberal Vermonters, you know, Bernie Sanders and all that, sending cash to people because they're black. Is that reparations? It's a stupid kind of reparations. It's reparations for the stupid, by the stupid, and for the stupid. There you go. There they are. And, you know, you say that there's no comedy left in America. Billy Crystal, you know, Billy Crystal, he's a comedian, actor, all kinds of stuff going way back. And Billy Crystal, who's, how old is he? Because he's, you know, he's not a young man. He's 73 years old now. The New York Post, Billy Crystal says comedy is, quote, becoming a minefield. Well, at the age of 73, I'm glad he finally picked up on that. You know, Billy Crystal has never been, I think he's funny and he's a nice guy. He seems like a very nice person. And fun in movies, and he's always been funny. Muhammad Ali, I guess he can't do that anymore. You know, I'm so fast, I turn the lights off, and I'm in bed before the room gets dark. You know, stuff like that. He's been doing comedy for a long time. He says, it's becoming a minefield. And I get it, he says. I don't like it. I understand it. I just keep doing what I'm doing, and that's all you can do right now. It's a totally different world now, and it doesn't mean you have to like it. He says with a laugh. Yeah, as I talk about that a lot, world's going to change in a lot in a half century, and you're not going to like all of it. You know? Totally different world now. And he says, yeah, comedy is a minefield, he says. That is understatement, you know, because they're out to get you. They're not on your side. And there are no real comedians anymore. Bill Burr is out there doing some comedy. He'll be canceled soon enough. But they've murdered comedy. Because they're not funny people and they have no sense of humor. That's why Saturday Night Live isn't funny anymore. Oh, we got an update on that, too. One person on the staff at Saturday Night Live is willing to work with, willing to work with Elon Musk? Pete Davidson addresses Elon Musk. He's hosting this Saturday night, and most of the crew, the staff, whatever you call them, What do you call it? You know, the cast of Saturday Night Live. They refuse to work with Elon Musk because of politics. And just amazing stuff. Saturday Night Live star comes out in support of Elon Musk's controversial appearance on the show. There's no reason for it to be controversial, except that the cast there is a gang of they're a gang of lefties and they're lunatics. And nobody should watch the show because it's not funny. He's the richest man in the world. How could you not be excited for that? That really doesn't affect me one way or the other. But he's going to host. Michael Che discusses upcoming show on Monday with Seth Meyers. It's all a great big circle fest. I got to tell you, I'm probably not going to watch it, so it doesn't matter all too much to me. Also, it should be noted, the story from NBC News, no less. China's emissions exceed those of the United States and all developed countries combined. Don't worry about that, though. China's greenhouse gas emissions in 2019 exceeded those of the United States and the developed world combined, according to a new report published Thursday by research and consulting group, the Rhodium Group. China's emissions more than tripled during the past three decades. You know, but don't worry about them. Don't worry about that, because that's not a thing. Now, I'm not sure if I've even given myself enough time, but all the attacks on Ron DeSantis, Mr. DeSantis's disdain for democracy, and alligators surrounding the ballot box in their political cartoon, Florida voter suppression, the front page lead story upper right-hand corner, A section. With fanfare, Florida governor signs voting law. New limits quickly challenged in court because the left takes everything to court. Trump's false claims about continue to fuel GOP. None of that has anything to do with anything. And then they say in the Washington Post, paragraph number 2 in the front page, DeSantis hailed the measure as necessary to shore up public faith in elections. How dare he? But critics accused him of trying to make it harder to vote, comma, particularly for people of color. The laws are the same for people of all races, right? Yes, they are. And doesn't that mean that black people have the same laws as white people, as Hispanic people, as Asian people? And the answer is, of course, yes. But the left likes to tell black people that everything is working against them. And it's crazy. Florida's new voting laws immediately hit with lawsuits is one headline. Also, another one did their attack. They attacked DeSantis on everything because they're afraid that he's going to run for president and he's going to do well. Did DeSantis violate First Amendment with Fox News only bill signing? No, unless the White House violates the First Amendment every day. The fact is that the Heritage Foundation put together a collection of facts versus myths, myths versus facts. And is a myth. Florida is trying to suppress mail-in voting. The Heritage Foundation points out that these reforms actually enhance voter ID requirements for mail-in ballots. And 66%, two-thirds of voters agree that you should apply voter ID requirements to absentee ballots. Now, why do the Democrats don't want that? It's impossible to say. But then they tell you that people of color don't have ID, which is one of the most racist things I can imagine. Myth, Florida is trying to make it harder for seniors or disabled voters to have their absentee votes turned in by others. Yeah, because Republicans don't want senior citizens to vote. It's Florida. They love senior citizens voting. They tend to vote Republican in droves. All right. And it's another lie that they're peddling. Completely ridiculous. What it is that you can have somebody else harvest your ballot, your son, your grandson. But what it does is it prevents activist groups from harvesting ballots by the truckload, throwing out the ones that they believe are not Democrat ballots and selecting only the, and going to homeless shelters and harvesting ballots, going to old folks' homes and harvesting ballots, knowing who the Republican voters are to exclude them. This reduces corruption. The Heritage Foundation has laid it all out, myths and truths. What the Democrats are pimping once again is a lie. Once again, it's racist. Once again, it incorporates the soft bigotry of low expectations. Once again, if you're black and you're a Democrat, you know, wake up, wake up, wake up, as Spike Lee said long ago. Read this stuff. The Democrats are lying to you again. And they're the most racist institution in the history of America. Please do your research. The Heritage Foundation has it right here.
I'm so fast I can turn out the lights in my bedroom, be in the bed before the room gets dark.
There's only one Chris Plant. The Chris Plant Show.
The Bigger Pockets portfolio of podcasts are worthy of your investment.
We're having a real conversation as real estate investors.
New episodes available every day.
It's important to buy where it makes money and not necessarily where you want to travel to.
Bigger Pockets, On the Market, Rookie Real Estate, or Money Podcast.
The purpose of flipping is to create more cash so then you can reinvest into other types of properties.
The Bigger Pockets podcast on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Yeah, China. China. Man, oh, Manischewitz. Yeah, they pollute more than the United States and the rest of the developed world combined. Why would that be a problem? They've tripled their output in the last three decades. Is that what it says? Yeah, more than tripled in the past three decades. And their greenhouse gas emissions in 2019 exceeded those of the United States and the entire developed world combined. Why would that be a problem? I don't understand why that'd be a thing. And this Pete Davidson story, you know, tomorrow night, Saturday Night Live, I wouldn't bother watching. I might hit the DVR on it. I don't know. Pete Davidson is this kind of peculiar cast member. His father was a firefighter that was killed in September 11th, the terrorist attacks by the troglodytes from hell that crashed the airplanes full of innocent civilians into those tall buildings in New York. Pete Davidson addresses controversy surrounding Elon Musk hosting. Why would it be controversial? Only because leftists, all right? But this guy, Pete Davidson, he says, I don't know why people are freaking out. He's talking to Seth Meyers. Everybody's got a show, I guess. He said, they're like, oh, I can't believe Elon Musk is hosting. I'm like, what? The guy makes the Earth a better place, kind of, and makes cool things and sends people to Mars. He hasn't actually, but, you know, he's working on that, I guess. He said, I'm really excited. It's like, I'm going to ask him for a Tesla or some stuff like that. I'll clean it up a little bit. He said, it's going to be exciting, too. He said, he's the richest man in the world. How could you not be excited for that? Like, okay, you know, I mean, that's fine. Doesn't excite me either, but all right. But why they're freaking out about it and all these cast members are refusing to appear with him is just completely absurd. Completely and utterly absurd. That's a fact. Yes, sir. Also at the border, I really didn't get to the border very much today. But, I've mentioned that Kamala Harris, the vice president, excuse me, Kamala Harris, hadn't moved into the vice president's residence. Well, I was wrong. She has moved into the vice president's residence, the official residence. A beautiful Victorian six bedroom, I guess. Very like 9,000 square foot deluxe on the grounds of the U.S. Naval Observatory. She has moved in it. And the Democrats are hiding 21,000 kids that sneaked across the border, playing a shell game with the media.